Ready, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And of course, it's E Green. And once again, we got a legend that we're going to interview tonight. Tell him who you are, son.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's MC Shad D. Chilling.
Everything good. I say, you know it's rough. I'm MC Shy D, and you gotta be tough.
Word up.
That's what's good, no doubt. No doubt. So I'm gonna start it out. I pulled out the original vinyls. I'm old enough to have the original vinyls and whatnot. I'm pulling them out. I guess what I wanted to ask you about, what I'm always interested in, as far as when I look on the back of the vinyls and I look at the production credits, and who did production on this, that, and the third, and what cut? Are those accurate, or was there any other staff guys at the Skywalker Records at the time that did the production, ghost production, or the people who is on there, you know, Collie Park, etc., are the ones who produced it?
Yeah. Collie Park wasn't on that one. We did some stuff later on in the future, you know, years later. Basically, believe it or not, back at the time when I got down with Luke, I only had a 909 drum machine. And Mr. Mitz, that, you know, put all the Two Live Crew stuff together. Y'all know who that is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he had an 808. So basically what I had to do, because I didn't have a 808 drum machine, when I made Gotta Be Tough, I had to bang on the table and tell him how I wanted my beat to go, and he programmed it in the 808.
Yeah,
so,
you
so that's
know
how we put Gotta Be Tough together.
Okay, so you know, I mean, I guess to me, when I hear, you know, when you would hear Two Live Crew records and then you would hear your record, you would hear the similarity in the production. I was always curious about that, you know, so that's what's up.
Yeah, but believe it or not, Mr. Mitz did not ever do a track for Shy D.
Really?
Nah, believe it or not, the first album, believe it or not, I put all the production together myself, you know what I'm saying, as far as the beats and stuff. I just had different people do the beats for me because, like I said, I didn't have an 808 drum machine. So, like, I mean, I go to the studio, white guy, I got a drum machine in there. I tell him how I want my beat to go, he'll program it in there for me, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
And most of that album, you know, believe it or not, at the time, I had a DJ down with me by the name of DJ Man. And he was kind of going through like a little substance abuse thing at the time. So, I mean, when it was time to go to the studio, I mean, he was like, yo, man, y'all go ahead. I ain't going today. So, believe it or not, most of that MC Shy D on the whole Gotta Be Tough album, I did all the scratching on it.
Wow.
That's incredible.
No doubt.
That's incredible. Yeah, I'm sitting up here and I'm holding the record right now. It's like, wow, okay. That's what's up. No doubt. I see.
Let me ask you a question, though, real quick.
Yo.
Like, obviously from New York.
Yeah, from the Bronx.
And you was going, what was it, back and forth from Atlanta to New York. But what influenced you to pick that style of rap, hip-hop music that you gravitated towards?
Yeah, well, basically, you know, when we was growing up in Atlanta, you know what I mean? New York is different. When I got out of New York, I was like 11 years old. So I kind of get more growing up down on this end in the South. So when we was growing up down here, people like to dance. You know what I'm saying? It's like basically when you throw on like a New York record, everybody just standing around ain't doing nothing. But then you throw on like an Egyptian Lover or a Pretty Tony record, everybody go rushing to the dance floor.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, like Planet Rock, anything that was like up tempo, they used to rock on it down South. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, yo, if I ever get a chance to make a record, I'm making me a down South record, you know. You know what I'm saying? Because I just studied the market so hard. I was like, yo, they rocking off the up-tempo records, but every time a New York record come on, everybody's sitting around talking.
Oh, okay.
I got to ask a follow-up on that shit since you said that, all right? So you said you was from New York, and you was feeling the sound from down in the South, and you was like, I'm doing that. So should we cut some of these folks that's from New York right now a break for sounding like they from Atlanta?
Nah, not really, because what they doing, I mean, they being smart about it, because you got to understand they doing what's hot right now. You know, if New York was still hot, then they wouldn't be biting this down South stuff. But New York ain't hot like no more. You know what I'm saying? So they say, yo, who's selling all the records? Who's selling all the records is the niggas down south.
Oh, that's real. I mean, when you're taking it at it from that level, let me ask you something about, so you recorded, did you record both albums in Miami, or was it sort of wherever you just ended up recording?
Oh, no, I did both albums in Miami.
Okay. That's what's up.
Yeah, the Gotta Be Tough album, we used these white boy studios. They was cool as hell, these white boys. But when I made the Coming Correct in 88 album, the second album, there's a, I don't know if y'all familiar with this reggae band called Inner Circle. They made that joint,
yep.
Bad Boys, Bad Boys, yep. You know, for yeah. Cops. They did the Cops soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, those my homeboys. I used their studio for the Coming Correct in 88 album.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's what's good. Yo, the thing about actually both of those albums, you know, what to me is good about all of the stuff from the past, yours included, you can't make those type of albums now. It's too expensive. You seen the lawsuits is crazy out there, but you could not make those albums, your album or anybody's album from back in those days. You know?
Oh, you talking about basically with the samples?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Too expensive.
Yeah, I mean, yo, try to make an album like that, man, you'll spend $3 million.
Yeah, exactly. No doubt.
Easy.
No doubt. So, really, speaking about money, I know in the past I had read some issues that you were getting paid, and quite frankly, I'm just curious, did you ever recoup money from, you know, your back royalties?
Yeah, I got some money, but basically the money started coming after the lawsuits, because when I won my lawsuit, basically all my rights came back to me on my publishing. You know, all my masters, so I own the masters and everything. All the records I ever made with Luke, wow. I own the masters. And his attorney, Little Joe, my masters are the only masters he didn't get, but he bought all of Luke's masters except Shadi's.
Okay. Okay.
Y'all familiar with Little Joe Records?
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
Definitely.
Yeah, y'all know he turned around and put all that stuff back out.
Yeah.
Reissued it.
You reissued, yeah. Huh? Okay. Yeah. I mean, my man...
He didn't have the Shadi stuff. That was part of my lawsuit, so I won all that stuff back. So that was definitely a blessing.
Oh, okay. Congratulations, man. You're one of the chosen few. When you can say you own your own masters.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. Because I mean, I believe it or not, I just took a chance last year. I was like, yo, let me throw something out there. Let me throw a couple of albums out there, see what it do. So I put all that stuff back out on iTunes, and I mean. From, let's say, June of 2014 to now, I have made over like $3,000.
Oh, yeah. That's what's up. There you go.
Just putting it back out there.
Just putting it back out there.
Yep, just putting it back out there. So, I mean, I think about it. That was a blessing, because just think, another record company will have it out, and they'll be making the money off it.
No doubt.
Right.
True.
Right.
That's the beauty of ownership.
Definitely.
So you say you're DJing now.
Yeah, I'm DJing. Believe it or not, a lot of people bug out when they come in the club and see me rocking, because they, you know, they know me for the rap and stuff. So niggas be like, yo, man, I didn't know you know how to fucking DJ. But I'll believe it or not, a guy from Philly taught me how to DJ before I started rapping. But the nigga was like, yo, man, your voice is real unique. You need to start trying to rap and shit. So that's what made me start trying to fuck with the rap. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So your career is owed to a cat from Philly, huh?
Yeah, my man, Special K.
Wow. That's what's up. You know, Philly is kind of underrated, but, you know, there's a lot of good DJs. Used to win those DJ contests all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Cash Money. Y'all remember that cat?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Sure.
Yo, that nigga was so dope. He was doper than Jazzy Jeff to me.
No.
There was a battle back in the day between them two.
Yo, them two right there. I mean, but Cash Money was in there, man.
But even that young kid. What was that young kid's name? Miz or something like that?
Yeah, DJ Miz. Yeah.
He was nice.
Yeah.
So is it interesting to hear that you were a DJ now, and to hear that you actually did the cuts and scratches on your album? That's pretty fly.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, I don't remember the Gotta Be Tough album, whatever, how many songs it had on it, believe it or not, I did half of the songs, because, like I say, DJ Man was bugging out back then. So I was like, yo, fuck it, I could do this shit.
No doubt that track Atlanta, from Atlanta, that's one of my favorite ones. I'm wondering if people heard that now, how would they, you know what I'm saying, how would they not be able to embrace that, where, you know, Atlanta that music is, right?
Are y'all familiar with the producer DJ Toomp?
Of course we are.
Yeah, you know, Toomp Toomp did the cuts on that. You know, Toomp was down with me back in the days on the second album.
Yeah, okay. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah.
Yeah, DJ Toomp and Mike Fresh. But Mike Fresh, believe it or not, this motherfucker was so dope. He taught me how to work the SB-1200. He did most of the production on the Coming Correct in 88 album.
Oh, okay. I see that. Yeah,
well, I see it. You were well versed in the business.
Yes, I see it. No doubt. Indeed.
Well, you know, we got to ask you, the question. How do you feel about today's hip-hop rap climate?
I mean, man, these young brothers doing, you know, they doing what they do. And a lot of niggas is bitter, man. But, I mean, I love this shit. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we done had our day. That shit is over. They on some different shit. You know, you got to respect it.
What's up?
Okay. Good way to look at it. They on some different shit.
Yeah.
And we say all the time, you know, that we have no issue with none of these young cats getting money.
That's right.
Ever. Get that money. But realize that's what it is. Don't come at me saying that you're a great MC and we catch you, the world catches you out there on some fucked up YouTube video trying to freestyle. Don't do that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's really, that's all the motherfuckers really care about is the money. You know, they don't give a fuck how whack they are. They don't fucking millions coming in.
Right.
And you know what's so crazy about that, though? The only thing I'm a little upset about, the only thing, is that they don't remember the history of the shit.
See, there you go.
Man, we was just talking about that before we even got on here.
There you go.
How niggas like you should be getting so much respect. Cats should be coming at you like, yo, looking at you for knowledge.
Yo, niggas be like, yo, you ask a young motherfucker, they be coming in club. Yo, DJ, yo, could you play my CD? And so somebody might be standing right there, be like, yo, you don't know who this is? And they be like, nah. Be like, you don't never heard of Shy D? Motherfucker, sit up there and say no.
Wow. Well, now, see, that's the problem. It doesn't matter. I don't care where you're from. You're from Atlanta, Miami, New York, or whatever. And that's, to me, the thing that is ultimately holding hip-hop back. I mean, yeah, you have select young guys making a lot of money, you know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that, but ultimately because they don't know the history, ultimately because they don't know who you are, you know, and then really what's more criminal, they're not willing to learn who you are, not willing to learn the impact that you had. I mean,
oh yeah, they don't give a fuck who you are. Okay, all right, well that's the nigga. Okay, well, all right, cool, what up, dog? And you know, you know, that's how it is. You know, they don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
No doubt.
Try to get their shit heard, huh?
And then the shit that be so crazy, like I was telling my lady today, I was like, yo, this girl I used to fuck back in the day, son, name is, what's his name? Banjo Jones or some shit. He had a dope-ass record out on Epic. Y'all know the song's called Sex You?
I'm not familiar.
Never heard of that.
Sex you, baby.
Nah, son.
It's not.
Y'all don't remember
us.
That record?
It's
that
not
record
helping.
Was big.
Nah,
that's not
it
helping.
Came out on Epic. No bullshit. Last year, yo, that record went big. I'm talking about my cousins in New York knew about that shit. But to make a long story short, is I used to fuck his mom.
And you was telling your lady about it. That's
yeah. But the thing, the point I'm trying to say is like, what if I would have met this cat in the street? You know what I'm saying? And be like, yo, man, I like your shit. And not even knowing that, I used to fuck his mom.
Yeah, that's,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm going to chalk that up to just being a small world.
Oh, my goodness.
So yeah, it's crazy because it's like 5 or 6 girls from back in the days that, you know, I used to knock their ass off. They'd be like, yo, you ever heard of such and such? I'd be like, yeah, that nigga dope. That's my son. I'd be like, oh, shit.
So you saying you might have a lot of sons out there?
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying how, like, when we kicked it, we was kids, you know, in our 20s. And then, you know, after we stopped kicking it, you had a couple of kids. And one of these motherfuckers grew up to be a superstar.
Oh, that's
but I know that you told them, yeah, I used to fuck a rapper back in the day. You know, like, you know, okay, you the shit, you my son, you the shit, but yo, this nigga named Shy D was the shit before y'all.
Yeah, yeah, that's
do you understand what I'm saying?
That's real.
I feel you.
That's real.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Nah, ain't none of them niggas my kids.
I feel hashtag I fucked his mom.
Yeah, I gotta ask you a question. So is it true you're related somehow to a Bambada or something like that?
Yeah, well, you know, it's really just a project thing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, when I came out, you know, he was like, yo, start telling niggas you my cousin, that'll help your career. You know what I'm saying? It ain't really a blood cousin thing.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. That's what's up.
Yeah, you know, it was like, we you know, we from the same projects. We grew up in Browns River.
Oh, okay. And,
yeah, we from the same project. So, like, when we was little, Bam used to stick the speaker out the window and everybody be in front of his window breaking in, you know. So, when he found out that I blew up down south and I talked to him, he was like, yo, just start telling people you my cousin because that'll help your career.
Okay. That's what's
yeah,
up.
Yeah, so that's how that cousin thing came about, you know.
That's a good look.
Yeah, that is a good look. But I got to say, man, you really have the most probably, and I'm sitting here thinking about your perspective as a young man growing up in New York, you know, Bronx River Projects, knowing about Bam, the speaker out the window, being there, seeing that, being a part of that, and two, with the inception of the, really the first gods coming from the South, you know, that whole first, second class of gods coming from the South. You're part of that perspective, man. You have a very interesting perspective that I think a lot of people can learn from what you got to say on it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was, everything was really like a blessing, even for my mother and them to get us out of New York. You know what I'm saying? Because as whack as my rhymes was back in the days, there was no way I could be an MC coming out of New York back in the days. You know, them niggas was just too dope up there, you know?
I think you may be the first rapper in the history of the world to ever say something like that.
And it's funny.
Because yeah, but you know, you got to be real with yourself.
No,
you know
and I'm appreciating it. That's what I'm saying, because a lot of people ain't real with it.
Yeah, but you know.
See, my shit was so dope. See, I was so fucking creative in the mind. I was like, yo, I know my raps are whack, but long as I got dope beats, I'm going to get over.
Well, that's true, and it's funny because we like you. It wasn't that we was really even comparing you to anybody else. I mean, we sort of liked you on your own merit, and I think that's probably how we, as far as us older guys, look at the situation now with disdain, because I think that we look at somebody can be from another part of the country and have hit records, or another country and have hit records, and not necessarily be all that on the mic, and that's okay. But you know, that seems a point of contention, a sore spot. And like, you know, E Color said, you probably the first person ever to say that my rhymes really wasn't like that, but that's not the reason why I blew.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I mean from day one, I had a game plan, you know, for us putting this shit together. But the thing is, I mean, even, you know, I used to tell my brother, yo, man, these niggas, they not gonna like my shit. My shit is whack. You know, I'm from New York. So, I mean, my rap's supposed to be better than what they are. But I told my brother, yo, watch me blow on these niggas because I got a game plan. It ain't gonna be the rap. It's gonna be the beat to get me over.
And the beats was crazy. I'm gonna tell you that right now.
That's what got Shadi over, the beats.
Indeed. No doubt. So, Kurt G, you got anything?
I'm just sitting here listening to him. I was saying, damn. I was like, this nigga, he is, got the perspective of, he came from New York and he saw how New York came up and how rap started from there. And then he went to Atlanta and seen how Atlanta started blowing and how it blew from there. So I'm like, you came from up there, seen how it started, and then how the South started. Is there any similarities in how they started?
You said, is there any similarities?
Yeah.
Well, none at all. You know what I'm saying? Because to me, New York had the lyricists, they had the lyrics, and down South had the beats.
Okay. That's what's up.
Think about it. Yeah. That's what's going on right now. That's why Busta Rhymes, French Montana, and all the rest of these cats keep jumping on these down South records, because they know these niggas got dope ass beats. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I tell you what, I mean, I certainly think that down South got, I think they all sound the same now.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you could make that distinction, you know, years ago, but I think it doesn't matter if the guy's in New York, he on a Mac. If he's in Atlanta, he's got his Mac, he's got his laptop. They all using the same software. So to me, they all, you know, DJ Mustard, they all sound the same to me. That's probably due to my age, but I think back in the days you could say that. And I think, you know, when I say down South, when I look at down South, I look at the uniqueness of, you know, like Outkast or 8-Ball and MJG, when they had really the unique, really soulful music all the way back to when you was doing it, which was, you know, bass heavy, that type of thing. Today, I don't know. I might have to disagree with that. They all sound the same to me.
Yeah, I mean, like, right now, but the thing was, I'm talking about the era I really was talking about, believe it or not, was the Little John era.
Oh, well, yeah, now, that, and that was probably the last era of uniqueness, you know, that you could really point to. Oh, when you heard that, you was like, oh, that's Little John or somebody affiliated with that style.
Today, oh, yeah. Now these days, yeah, like you said, everybody, what's that, Fruity Loops, I think they rocking?
Yeah, whatever, it's all the same.
Yeah, you know, and like you say, they not doing, I mean, you know, they not doing nothing but wait for a nigga to come and blow, and then everybody jump right on the producer style. Like that kid DJ Mustard, I like what he doing because he's smart. What he do, right? He said, yo, I got the club on lock with this joint right here. The tempo of this shit is a 98 beat per minute. Every fucking record I produce for whoever gonna be a 97, 98, or 99.
Yeah, no doubt.
So they're gonna play 10 of my records in a row. See, you gotta, and that's what I like about that nigga. He's smart. You know what I'm saying?
He do lock it down, I'll tell you that.
With the same tempos, them tempos do not change, man.
Nah, it's easy to mix his shit.
Damn sure is. It really is, you know what I'm saying? But that's probably something he had in his mind, like, you know, being smart about that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, because I don't give a fuck if I'm doing Jennifer Lopez or fucking, what's my man, Carlos Santana. The motherfucker's going to have a 98 beat per minute. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
No. So, that's a smart guy to me, you know.
And just a couple more questions, man. You got to, as a DJ, do you find it, you know, because, you know, we have lamented over this over and over again, like, do people still come to the booth? Well, you said they come asking to play their music, but do they come with all the requests for you or when you're playing?
Far as ask me to play my shit?
Anything. Any shit. You got
man, yo, that's the new shit niggas is doing now. I said, yo, when the fuck did niggas start coming up to motherfuckers asking them to play records and shit? Man, this girl had me so frustrated last night. I said, yo, bitch, you want a DJ? No bullshit. I know exactly what y'all talking about. Yo, that shit is frustrating. People did not do that back in the day.
That's what got us fucked up over here when we be DJing shit. It's like, you come up telling me to play Lil Joe from your hood? I don't know that nigga.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yo, that is crazy, man.
I mean, anything else you, what's that? You speaking to the hip-hop Dodgers world right now?
Yeah, no doubt. Anything you want to shout out? Anything you want to plug?
Nah, well, basically, you know what I'm saying? I'm an old nigga, so I'm cool. You know, like I say, you know, I'm just chilling. You know what I'm saying? I just thank God, you know, he gave me a chance to do what I did back in them days. And, I mean, you know, one thing about me, I mean, you know, because I got friends that's rappers, like, you know, people that used to be big and shit. You know, like my man Scorpio Melly Mel, those my boys, right? But the niggas is bitter. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you can put this on the record and shit. You know, they kind of bitter, like, feeling like, yo, man, we started this shit, but niggas ain't giving us our just due. Yeah. But like I tell Scorp all the time, yo, man, these young niggas don't give a fuck. Well, y'all understand what I'm saying?
No, I understand that clearly. But again, I'm going to say it again. Ultimately, I think at the end of the day, that's ultimately what's going to hold the culture back from really being who and all it should be. You know, just on that fact. I don't care if it's you. I don't care if it's Melly Mel. I don't care who it is. You know, the fact that young guys, and I know they don't give a fuck, and I get that, you know, but, you know, they will lament the same thing when they're done. Oh, I can't believe niggas don't, you know how much money I made in this game and niggas don't fuck with me like that? Really? It's going to be the same thing to come around, and that's going to hold your culture back.
Yeah, you can ask a nigga like Young Jock.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He's probably bitter right now.
I could tell y'all something else that was real dope about me. Check it out. When I used to put my shit together, right? Let me give y'all a prime example of what made Shy D real dope. Gotta Be Tough. Y'all know the Earth, Wind & Fire record that I put in there, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I bet Brazilian. You y'all never know where I bit that shit from.
Brazilian? You talking about
the Brazilian rhyme? Yeah.
I bet you what song y'all never know I bit that shit from.
Other than you cutting the Earth, Wind, and Fire, or that being looped in there, I don't know what else it could be. But
Larry's Love or something like that.
Girls love the way he's
girls thin. Girls love the, yes.
Oh, yes. That's right. That's right. Oh, good looking, Egri. I wasn't, actually, I didn't even think about that.
You remember that?
Yes, indeed.
When Grandmaster Flash would say, "Here, Flash, rocking for you" at the end of that record.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Bada up. Yep. He was cutting that shit, but he had that shit going super slow.
Right, yes.
I did that shit the other day.
I said, yo, let your crew hear that shit. I'm telling you, I said, yo, I'm going to bike that shit and speed it up.
Oh, wow, that is
That's a
awesome.
Lot of grades in the day, man.
That's awesome.
You know what I'm saying? So I brought that up. Like y'all was saying, these young kids, you know, they don't want to learn about the past. I mean, you know, they don't want to learn about the niggas that was before them. But see, I took off the niggas that was before me. I was biting all them niggas shit.
Okay, but yeah, that's fine. But see, you have the knowledge of the people before you. So that doesn't make you the new nigga when you was new, not really giving the other niggas prior to you respect. That wasn't the case.
That's right.
You knew. And so I'm going to say it again. That's a deficiency of all these youngins right now. The way they kicking it. Their day will come, and like my man G said, right now you can ask Young Jock. You know what I'm saying? Niggas don't even know his name right now. You know what I mean? As big as his waist.
A lot of milk cartons, B.
Exactly. So, no doubt. So, anyway, man, thanks for being on the Hip Hop Digest, yo. Appreciate it. This is actually awesome, yo. It's an honor.
Learned a few things.
Yeah, done learned a few things. And I have to say, yo, as a DJ who my shot, the only Shadi story I got is doing a house party and one of my turntables broke.
Okay.
And I literally played side one of the LP and just let it rock.
That's dope.
And
that's
the party was
and the, I got some good promotion that night.
And the party was goodness. And the party was on point. So that's what's up, no doubt.
And what we know that Gotta Be Tough is like probably your staple, but you know, all these joints, man, I don't want to treat you wrong. Oh my God, you know what I'm saying? He was just
Yeah. Hey, yo, let me say something one more real funny for y'all one more time. I'm gonna ask y'all, I'm gonna do another quiz on y'all.
All right.
Do y'all remember this record I had called I'm Not a Star?
Yes. Yep.
Who did I bite that from?
Wow. You would be, I'm stumped. I'm sitting, I know your record, I'm a Star. I know the rock guitar situation you got going on in there, but that's about as I can say on that.
All right, here we go. I got that from LL. That's a lie. Him and Russell Simmons.
Oh, word.
Wow. I got a girl. She wipes my butt.
Oh, yep. My goodness.
See, that's what I'm saying. You had to be fucking dope. See, I was so creative. I was biting all that New York shit up.
Wow.
That is what's up. No doubt. So, Hip Hop Digest, we have been here with the legendary MC Shadi. Shadi, before we get out, can you give us a drop?
Oh, yeah. No doubt.